Welcome to Pep Talk with Bridget Kay.
This half hour is presented by the Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Happy
My name
Friday.
Is Bridget Kay. Claire and Allison joining me from Escambia County Healthy Start. Welcome to the show. How are you both doing today?
Doing very
good.
Well,
how
Bridget.
Are you?
How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. It's Friday. We made it to the weekend. And it's kind of nice weather. I thought it was going to be storming today, but it seems to be so far so good. So that makes me in a good mood.
So far, yeah. So I think the rain should start tomorrow. Start getting that hammered.
Absolutely. So you guys always come with a couple of topics that you want to cover and inform our listeners about. So why don't we kind of dive right in? It's the beginning of summer, so I know we wanted to talk a lot about safe swim today.
Yes, thank you for that, Bridget.
So, go ahead, Allison.
Go ahead, Claire.
Oh, okay. We're doing the show virtually. We'll never get used to it. Allison, why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, with our community reopening and everyone eager to get outdoors, of course, they are looking for opportunities to swim. And, of course, with swimming comes responsibility on the part of adults so that they can keep their small children and even bigger children safe. Drowning, as we know, is one of the leading causes of death for toddlers, 1 to 4. And what we also know about drowning is it's quiet. It makes no noise. And when these tragedies happen, all too often, there are adults who are in the vicinity, who are in the area. But because there were no splashing or audible cries, we just have to be very, very vigilant as parents and adults, whether we're in a backyard pool or at the beach or at the Y or at a community pool. We've got to be very, very vigilant with safety, particularly for our infants and toddlers and older children. And I'll turn it over to Claire now. We've got several tips that we can share with the audience that can really help ensure their swim experiences are safe for their kids.
Yeah, so one of the things that has always really struck me since I joined Healthy Start and started learning a little bit more about drowning is that all it takes is 1 to 2 inches of water for a child to drown at that younger age, which seems mind-blowing that little water can do that much damage. And so when we talk about all these safety tips, is that this includes bathtubs, this includes retention ponds and wells and ditches, and all those kind of uncommon things that we might not think about because when we focus on the pools and the beaches. But keeping these safety tips in mind for what are those things around your home you should keep an eye on. And so there's something called the ABCs of water safety. You know, we've talked on here about ABCs of safe sleep, but there's an ABC for water safety too. And that's active adult supervision. Have some barriers in mind, ways to stop a child from being able to access that water source if there isn't that active adult supervision. And know your classes. Know where you can access those safe swim classes for children of all ages. And so we're going to be pushing some of those on our Facebook and social media, of course. But for classes, the ones we're always going to recommend are through the YMCA and your Parks and Recreation Department. So you can call Pensacola Parks and Rec. You can call your Y, find out classes available for you. But with swimming pools especially, you know, or any of those are going to be the most tempting to kids. So those are really also where you have to watch it. And you want to eliminate that desire for them to go in the pool and always possible. And that includes not leaving toys in the pool area. You know, you leave that shiny floaty sitting over in the water and you have a kiddo that's just like, ooh, I really want that floaty. And then accidents happen. So empty those inflatable pools. Don't leave toys. And again, going back to those barriers, that's things like a 4-foot fence. You know, you want to make it tall enough that your kiddo can't climb over it or anything like that. Have locks on doors and gates that go towards that pool area. Keep it covered if it's not in use. Those are really the kind of things we're talking about when we say barriers that are going to make it less attractive for the kiddo, remove some of that temptation, but also make sure that even if you're not able to have that supervision, just because, you know, you never know when that urge might strike for a kiddo, that you're putting those barriers in place to stop them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something about the floaties. I remember when you guys came on, I think it was maybe a couple of months ago, you discussed, or it was Madison that might have said, you know, stay away from those big floats that seem to become really popular. Yep. Right now, like the huge unicorns or the big duck or the huge donut or whatever people can buy nowadays to put in their pool.
Exactly.
That can be fun for teenagers. But if you have little kids or anybody around, that can be a real danger hazard.
Absolutely. So not only is it, you know, attractive because it's big and fun, it also, you know, kiddos aren't able to balance themselves. I think almost every adult's been in that. You see them on TikTok and videos, you jump on the floaty and you fall off. You know, there's a balance you have to have there, and kiddos don't have that balance for themselves. And one of the swimming tips is don't even rely on those little flotation devices, the little armbands. Those keep them afloat, but those also require you to have that adult supervision, because those aren't foolproof. They aren't going to be, you know, you never know when it might happen. So don't rely on those to prevent a drowning. You know, don't just say, oh, yeah, they've got, you know, this is a floaty arm devices. They're good. They're helpful, but they shouldn't be kind of the end all be all. But especially at you, those big floats are fun, but only when, again, you talk about that adult active supervision and someone's able to be holding them, making sure you're preventing that from falling off and those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we all need reminders about this, especially as we're, you know, it's June. I know it's so hard to believe that it's already June.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, what is happening to this year? It's already June. And before we know it, mm-hmm. and I guess already now everybody's going in the pool and enjoying the beaches because it is hot outside. So these are always helpful reminders. You know, remind your family if people are coming over as well. Everybody needs to have their eyes on the little kids and the kiddos whenever they're running around the pool.
Absolutely. Well, and as you know, Allison was saying earlier, remembering older ages.
Go ahead, Allison.
Well, and specifically with the beaches and the floaties that parents, and I did the same thing, put those little floaty things on my twins' arms. But at the beaches, especially, that adult super, there is no substitute for eyes on your kids. No substitute. And even with those little floaties on, we have rip currents here. There's forecasts for strong rip currents here in our area this weekend with the storm out in the Gulf. And also, if I can add, always, 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 especially when you have kids, swim at the beach where there's a lifeguard, where there is someone there who can come to your aid. Heaven forbid something goes wrong. So I just wanted to add those specific tips related to beach water safety.
Absolutely. And paying attention to the flags and everything like that is super important as well.
Yep. And absolutely. I will absolutely, Allison, back you up in the lifeguard. When I was 7, I got lost on the beach. And it was only because I was in a foreign country. I was gone in over an hour, but it was a lifeguard because I had seen a video from a local hospital here in elementary school that told you look for a lifeguard. And it was only that lifeguard that got me out of, I need to look for that lifeguard stand. So making sure your kids are educated as well. You know, we're talking a lot about that drowning that younger age, but this applies to kiddos. I was 8 or 9, I think. Knowing where those lifeguards are, knowing about rip currents, that I didn't go in the water because I knew, you know, when I was lost, because I knew I didn't know what was out in that water. So making sure that your kiddos are educated on this as they get to those older ages. And we'll be sharing some resources you can share with your kids. That really talks to them. This isn't just for the adults in their life to understand the importance of this safety. It's for your kiddos as well to know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's scary, Claire. But it's good that you could,
yeah,
you know, have those tips and were educated and, you know, knew what to do, because so often we hear about horror stories when people don't know. And you mentioned something about how much water does it take for somebody to drown? What did you say? 2 feet?
2 inches.
2 inches.
Oh my gosh.
So even when you're in,
yep,
the bathtub or,
yeah,
something like,
you know,
that, it can be really scary.
Exactly. Like I said, that's really, you know, for your younger 1-year-old, you know, a 4-year-old, 2 inches isn't, you know, that much. But when you're talking about those really young kiddos, that 2 inches is just enough. And mostly you see those 2-inch deaths happening in bathtubs. Like I said, a lot of these tips are, you know, not just for outside the home. Don't think, oh, I don't have a pool. We don't go to the beach that often. This isn't for me. This is, you know, in your home as well.
Absolutely. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Claire and Allison from Escambia County Healthy Start. If you have a question, or if you want to join in on the conversation, you can always give us a call or give us a text at 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620 if you have a comment or a question. Although we're doing the show virtually, we can still take all of your questions. So 850-437-1620. I know Father's Day is coming up, and you guys wanted to talk a little bit about that.
It is. Allison, you want to start on that?
Sure. Yes, last month we celebrated moms. Next month, of course, in June 17th, we celebrate our dads. And we do know, as a matter of health for kids, babies are healthier and have fewer complications at birth when they are involved with their fathers, when dads are involved. And they're less likely to suffer adverse outcomes, such as SIDS. But they do have improved learning and emotional development. And children are more likely to go to well baby visits and have higher developmental scores and fewer problems later in life when dads are involved. So there's no substitute, just as there's no substitute for a mom, fathers are irreplaceable just as much. And so this Father's Day, we wanted to promote and shout out to our dads and offer some encouragement and tips for fathers who can be more involved with their little ones, their infants, and their toddlers. And I'll turn it over to Claire because, again, she's got some very specific tips and information she'd like to share for the fathers and also the father figures out there. I know growing up that my grandfather was a very key influence and presence in my life. My dad passed when I was very young. And so it's not just dads, it's those father figures who are involved as well. So over to you, Claire.
Yeah, and so one of the things that is really important is dads to know that their health is just as important, you know, as moms and as babies. So taking care of themselves, knowing that it's okay to talk about the stress of parenthood, especially those, you know, who are involved. So we're going to be sharing resources for dads to access, just like we shared, you know, we talked about maternal mental health last month, that there is such a thing as paternal parental health. Dads have paternal depression, just like maternal depression. And postpartum depression. It's a lot, you know, lower risk, but it does happen, that it is a stressful time for dads as well. And so we're going to be sharing resources that dads can have access to and rely on to turn to for emotional support. But dads can get involved in the pregnancy. You know, your role doesn't just happen at the beginning and the end. You know, work together in supporting the women in your life who are pregnant, asking how you can support her, staying healthy, being proactive and helping out. You know, with your partner, you know, depending on how your partner feels, attend those childbirth classes and those prenatal appointments with her. And as Allison said, this doesn't just apply to the dads in your life. These are any kind of father figure, someone, any male who wants to be involved in a woman he knows that, you know, she's comfortable and she wants that support as well. And share worries, listen to each other. You know, that just listening can be such a huge thing that can help both parties. You know, Healthy Start, we do home visiting with our nurses, and we encourage dads to be involved in our home visits. If mom's comfortable with it, of course, you know, we want to make sure at all times that she's comfortable with what's going on, but that if she's okay with it, and, you know, the nurses encourage dads, stick in the room, listen to what I'm telling mom about, those developmental milestones. Safe sleep is a huge one where we love to see dads involved. You know, we've talked about before this fetal femur program, this infant mortality research that Healthy Start does. And we see dads involved in a lot of these cases. And one thing we've brought up is can we make sure dads are more involved in these campaigns? You know, we want to make sure we're not just educating the mom, that we are educating the whole family, but most importantly, dads. So one thing we already shared on our page this morning was key ways dads can help baby with safe sleep. And that's, you know, if you're a dad who wants to help mom out and make sure, hey, why don't you go take a nap, I'll take care of the baby, that you know that the baby should always be on their back for nap time and, you know, all that kind of stuff, that you encourage her to, you know, let's keep the baby in our room. Let's practice that room sharing, not bed sharing aspect. having that bassinet at the side, maybe put it on dad's side instead of mom's side so you get those 2 a.m. feedings. And then remembering and making sure that you're using kind of that firm mattress and that fitted sheet and nothing else. So help, you know, the whole thing, I think, with a father or father figure is just making sure that the partner, the mom, feels supported, that backing up decisions and making sure that everything you do for your kiddo is an informed decision based off what is out there for you and accessing those resources and being proactive, again, and making sure that mom has everything that she needs, that baby has what they need, and just supporting however you can.
Absolutely. And, you know, we say that for safe sleep, it's good to remind, you know, the fathers and educate them. Obviously, that's super, super important. But I think it's also good to remind, you know, grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever's going to be babysitting these kids, because I know information has changed. I think when I was little, I was like swaddled all up, but now we're not supposed to do that. And I always had like a bunny with me in the crib or whatever, and I'm not supposed to do that either. So education is key with this. And I know I have a couple of friends who have started having kids, and they'll post pictures like, oh, she's sleeping or whatever, like on their Facebook, and they're all in their little blankets, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just because I host a show with you guys, I'm like, don't do that. So why don't we go over kind of the safe sleep initiatives as well, if you want to go ahead, Claire.
So, the really big things with safe sleep are that babies should always be alone on their back in a crib. And so alone is what we mean by never having this blankets, pillows, anything like that in that with them. I recently learned in Maryland, they have completely banned the sales of baby bumpers, which is a fantastic initiative.
What's a baby bumper?
Are seen as something. So those are what you see at the stores and you see in cribs that you put almost like a side pillow. You put them around the crib to prevent them from bumping into the side. And so parents think that that's what you do. You know, you don't want, you know, no one wants to imagine their kid hitting their head on the side. But what really that does is it blocks their potential airways. If they roll over to that side of the crib, their face is right against that bumper pad, which is not a breathable fabric, rather than that free airflow. And so that's what we mean by alone. We're not just talking about the bunny in the crib, you know, all sorts of different things, but there should literally be nothing in there except them. And, you know, you talked about the swaddling, and swaddling is good, but yeah, there are a lot of that swaddle for too long. You know, all you really need to do is swaddle for this first month or two when they're really young. And after that, you sleep sacks are a fantastic invention that allow the kiddos to have that feeling of a swaddle, but it's much safer. And that's one thing we really promote, and we actually give out with our when we give pack and plays to community members in our community who need a safe sleep environment. Part of what they get is a sleep sack that is good for that. And so the other, you know, is always on their back. As you said, it's changed over time. It used to be on the side. It used to be on the tummy. It used to be propped up on a wedge. But the American Academy of Pediatrics really recommends it's always on the back nowadays. That no other physician. And of course they start to roll over, but that's because they can get themselves in and out of situations. But for the first year, you should always put them, when you put them down, on their back. And then, like I said, always in that crib. A bassinet works well, of course. You're just looking for a firm, flat surface, no swings, no boppy pillows, nothing in bed, not in the bed with you. They should always be in that crib or bassinet.
Yeah, and you need to make sure anybody that's going to be watching your child overnight or just babysitting at all knows all of those things as well. Because like I was saying before, you know, what grandma thinks might not be exactly what is the protocol nowadays. So just that education is continuous. Education is key for sure. You mentioned that you have a bunch of tips and tricks on your social media. So where can everybody follow you?
Bridget,
go ahead, Allison.
I just wanted to go back to what Claire was talking about when you asked the question about bumpers. You know, when you're preparing for your baby, there's a natural nesting tendency. And what that involves for moms and dads and caregivers is preparing the nursery, getting the crib, blankets, and all of these accoutrements, sheets and decorations. You want to make your baby's room and space look inviting and warm and just really make it special. I remember this from my own experience. And when you go into the stores, they will try, and they do sell all of these things. And you want, there's a tendency to want to put them in your baby's crib because, oh, it looks so cute, and it looks warm and just fuzzy. But as Claire pointed out, all it takes is just a moment for a baby's nose to get wedged or them get in trouble, and they cannot get themselves out. And so that's really the reason we really advocate against placing any kind of bumpers or the soft surfaces in that crib or seat or sleep space with the baby. So we want to put those things in there, but that's a tendency we really need to step back from.
Absolutely. And Claire, I know, well, both of you, you know, you study a lot about the infant mortality rate. Do you see that the cause of death is usually from sleeping? Is there like a reoccurring theme with things like that in Escambia County?
Yeah, so sleep-related deaths are definitely our number one cause of injury deaths. And for infants, you know, we do have a decent bit of, unfortunately, those babies who pass away. The majority, I would say, are due to medical issues of some sort, either genetic conditions or born too early or things like that. But unsafe sleep conditions are absolutely our number one injury-related death for infants under one. And that's usually about 30% of our cases every year. Of total infant death. And usually that's happening in the first 3 to 4 months. That's when it's very critical to be practicing these safe sleep, but really that first year.
Yeah, so we can just, I mean, like I said before, I can't say it enough, and that's why you guys come on the show. It's the continuous education, letting our listeners know about you. How can somebody become a partner with Escambia County Healthy Start?
Yeah, so absolutely consider following us on our different social medias. Instagram, we're Healthy Start ESC Escambia. And then our Facebook is Healthy Start, Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition. And that's when you're going to be able to hear these tips and tricks we put out on all these different topics, but also find out about different community events we're putting on. You know, typically we've been out there at Day of Play. We're at the different health fairs. So that's where you're going to see where you can find us, come meet us and that kind of thing. You can also find our phone number on our social media, and that if if you're a pregnant mama, if you have an infant under three, or you know someone, reach out to us, and we'll be happy to get to know you a little better and see how we can help with different community resources.
Absolutely. We have about 2.5 minutes left on the program. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Claire and Allison from Escambia County Healthy Start. We talked a lot about safe swim at the beginning of the program. And it's the summertime and it is hot. So a lot of people are wanting to enjoy the pool, enjoy their beaches, the rivers, wherever we're going to have some fun. But it's really good to have some reminders about safe swim. So why don't we recap that one more time?
Sure. Okay, so really, the ABCs of water safety. Allison, you
want to
go ahead?
There's a delay. No, go ahead, Claire. You're good.
Okay. So the ABCs of water safety are really that there should always be active adult supervision around. There should always be barriers such as fences, locks, gates, empty pools, covers, and that consider signing your kiddos up for classes. So call your local YMCA, call your local Parks and Rec department to find out where the swim classes are happening. And those are usually for ages even as young as 6 months to a year. Those swim classes are out there.
Absolutely. And so we just need to, you know, keep up with that. Get them into swim classes. I know I think I took them when I was like, I don't know, maybe like 2 years old. I don't know if that's like too late or really early, but I know it was really important to my parents. Get the fences, make sure your doors are locked, make sure, you know, you're dotting your T's or you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's when it comes to safe swim for sure.
Yep.
The floaties, all of that good stuff. We have about a minute left on the program, so I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, Father's Day is coming up. You guys are going to have a lot of tips and tricks for fathers on your social media pages and all of your platforms. So just remind us about that one more time, Claire.
Yeah, so dads are, definitely essential to a baby's development. You're going to help out the health of your baby to make sure you have that father figure around. And like I said, this does not just have to be the dad of the baby. This is uncles and grandparents and all those kind of things. And making sure dads are taking care of their health, their emotional well-being. And we're going to be promoting resources to make sure that dads are able to get resources just as much as mom.
Absolutely. All father figures. Definitely follow up on them. And we want to celebrate our dads. It's June. Last month, all about the moms. Well, it's always all about the moms. But now we're celebrating dads this month. Super, super important. So follow them on all of their social media platforms. Also, what is the number for Escambia County Healthy Start if someone wants to get in contact with you?
So someone can call us and check in with us at 850-696-2291.
All right. Thank you guys so much. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. We have Play Pensacola coming up next, but first we're checking in with Mark.
Florida's Supreme Court says no to a proposed constitutional amendment on assault weapons. The story is coming up after Fox News.
I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump hailing the May jobs report, which shows a gain of 2.5 million jobs, when analysts were expecting a loss of 8 million. Some of the winning sectors: leisure and hospitality, construction, healthcare.
Dentist's office created 245,000 jobs. Physicians' offices created 51,000 jobs. Now, this is not the COVID response emergency room type physicians.
Fox's Edward Lawrence. And two police officers in Buffalo, New York, suspended without pay after a video goes viral.
The disturbing video from WBFO shows an officer appearing to push a 75-year-old man down as police were clearing Niagara Square in Buffalo around the time of the 8 o'clock curfew last night. The man falls backwards. He hits his head on the pavement with blood leaking out as officers continue to walk past him.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 9:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620. It's 82 and mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Florida Supreme Court says a proposed constitutional amendment seeking to ban possession of assault-style weapons does not meet requirements to go before voters. Supporters of the Ban Assault Weapons Now initiative didn't submit enough petition signatures to make it on the ballot this year and needed support from the high court to go before voters in 2022. Among businesses reopening, Pensacola Mess Hall welcoming back visitors under certain restrictions to help ensure public safety. Timed admission reservations are required. Families have to schedule a visit during two-hour blocks between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
A hot and humid Friday along the Emerald Coast as high temperatures top out in the middle to upper 80s with isolated to widely scattered showers. Lows this evening will bottom out in the low 70s with isolated showers as well. I'm meteorologist Caitlin Wright from the Channel 3 First Warning Weather Center.
It's 82 in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and Milton at 9:33.